It's all about the heat. Cutting that promo, baby dollar heel, giving the crowd what they want as they go for the suplex off the top turnbuckle. Today we're talking about why we like professional wrestling. To join me for some testosterone-fueled melodrama that hits harder than Bam Bam Bigelow's head into a steel cage, I have a tag team for the ages. Not one, but two Hanson brothers ready to bring their high-flying wordplay to the virtual ring of this podcast, like the Hart brothers of old. I welcome to the mat, Jeff and Ed.
Oh, man. I don't think I've had a better introduction in my entire life for anything I've ever done.
Well, I hope you guys like that. I worked on it for a little while.
That was some wordsmithing at its finest, Chris. I love it.
Well, thank you. So, you handsome brothers, Jeff, you've been on the show before. Ed, this is your first time. Thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. I don't know Jack or anything about wrestling. It's not like my thing, but I know that you guys wanted to talk about this, and I thought it'd be a fun episode to do. So I had you two to come on to talk about why you guys like wrestling. So, Ed, when I say professional wrestling, what's the first thing that comes to mind?
Intricate storylines I wish would happen amongst action heroes.
Can you elaborate on that? Like, why those are the things that come to mind?
I always saw professional wrestling as like a freeform way to basically tell cool stories while still keeping that sort of fight. Whereas in action movies, it's very one-dimensional and you get that like hour and a half to 2 hours and that's it. This is ongoing forever and ever.
I mean, I've heard some people call it soap operas for people that like brawling.
Yeah. And that's definitely it. It's, you know, they always, you know, promote it as like a never resting, the only sport that never rests. So definitely would see the soap opera elements there too.
So Jeff, when I say that, professional wrestling, what's the first thing that comes to mind for you?
I'm going to take a lame approach to this, but I will say family is the first thing that comes to mind.
That's not lame. That's nice.
Yeah, you're so kind.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we grew up with it. So like when Ed and I were kids, we weren't supposed to be allowed to watch wrestling. My mother was vehemently against it. And so we'd be down in the basement. And if WWE on USA, and I can't remember the name of the show, I just remember it was like on you old-timey USA, and it would start.
Was that primetime Saturday night?
I thought it was during the day, and it was like a train that came across the TV. I swear it was like, it'd be like WWE or WWF at that time. It was like a train that came. That's all I remember. And I remember my mom would see that, and she would give my dad, Bob, come on, and we'd have to turn it off. So when we got a little bit older, and we were able to have a little good-natured defiance, my father would sneak us into the, so in our family room in our den, there was like a little nook at the end of the couch.
Oh, I remember the nook. Yes.
And my dad would let us kind of rush us in, and we would hide in the nook, and he would have on, at the time we were watching a lot of NWA or WCW, we would hide in this nook. And if my mom came by, she'd just see my father sitting watching TV, which wasn't out of the ordinary. And we'd sneak in some wrestling. And I think because of that, it just feels very familial and it's like a bond. And I think your dad thinks it's cool, so then you think it's cool. And, you know, my dad was, you know, has always said it was fake, but there was athleticism involved. So we always got to watch it. We never really watched it as like wrestling fans. It was like a story that we were all in on. So
yeah,
I think all the stuff Ed says is like what's exciting about wrestling for me. But when I think about it, it's probably family.
So with that, let me throw some stuff at you and see if you guys knew this. I mean, you'll know some of it because I mentioned it before we started recording, but apparently the 1920s, really 1925, is when wrestling started getting choreographed in the US and the UK, when they started having set matches, because before that, wrestling was actually a sport where people would compete, but those matches would sometimes go on for 4 to 6 hours, and they often ended stalemates.
Yep.
So this choreographed wrestling started up in sideshows and traveling circuses and carnivals, and it just kept getting bigger and bigger because people really enjoyed it, because the people that were wrestling would play to the crowds and people would get excited and people started showing up. And that leads to a really interesting fact to me, which is that because of how popular wrestling got, it is one of the primary reasons much, much later that pay-per-view became a successful business model along with boxing. Without pro wrestling, we wouldn't have pay-per-view. So I feel like what the Octagon owes pro wrestling a lot of money.
Yep. And
or at least, you know, or at least recognition.
You know, you could go back as far as to say, like, actually, wrestling owes the Octagon mentality. Maybe not what we know of MMA, but I think it's like those real fight, that real fight, that real man versus man. And, yeah. and I'd say woman versus woman, but this was man versus man at the time. And women's wrestling was something else entirely and not particular. It was like more of a ha ha har har sort of a thing. So,
yeah.
And that's, you could go back and say this is all part of this sort of fascination with people just fighting each other,
yeah.
And then going through different stages of like, say, all right, well, first we're going to have them fight to the death. Then we'll just have them kind of fight and really muscle around, but with a lot of rules so they don't die. Well, you know what? Let's just fake the whole thing. Yep. You know, we don't really want anyone to get hurt. And this guy's from Russia. All right. He's from Russia and this guy's from the US and we're going to fight in the middle of the Cold War. Go for it. You know, like, yeah, that's way easier because no one dies. Everyone gets like fun little stories and they move on with their lives.
Yeah. And it's that same lineage of history of behind, you know, professional combat that also made it so that when you finally started scripting it and, you know, faking it as it were, that got the crowd in the most because the crowds really still thought for the longest time, probably up till the 70s and even early 80s, that this was a very real thing happening and the real hatred that these characters could elicit and build off of. To me, that's really what also got me in. Like, not, you know, obviously I knew Jeff was going to say family because we are the same family. But really outside of family, that's what really elicited it to me was these perfectly crafted villains and heroes where we grew up knowing it was fake, but there were some who were brought into professional wrestling going, it's all real. And so we got the best of both worlds where we got to see that raw hatred and that raw emotional like heroism because of that, because there was so much realism building into what we see as modern day professional wrestling in the form of, you know, WWE and AEW and such.
So for the folks at home that aren't like familiar completely with wrestling that might be listening to this, that idea, this idea about worked or staged events that feel and look real or true is called kayfabe. That's what the term is. And it is one of the things I think that makes wrestling so appealing to people is that they try to play it like it actually is a real thing, even though it's entertainment, it's acting. But there is a thing which exists called the shoot, which is when something unplanned or unscripted happens. I think probably for me, the best example I could think of that is when Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant, because they weren't supposed to do that, at least not when it happened in that wrestling match, because Andre the Giant was really tired and having a hard time physically. So he actually, while they were doing one of those grapples, was like, pick me up and slam me. And he was like, what? And then he did it.
Yep. So also, Chris, for you not knowing a lot about wrestling, you're still showing a lot of dictionary knowledge right now, which is great. Shoot and kayfabe are two of my favorite words.
That's because I do research for the show.
I mean, as every good podcaster should.
Yeah, absolutely. With a couple of those things said, Jeff, you already mentioned one of your most enjoyable memories. Eb, what are some of your most enjoyable memories concerning wrestling? And Jeff, I'll ask you that question too in a second, some other memories.
So I really think Jeff will probably echo this, but I know we both have a bunch of different ones, but I'd say my biggest exciting memory was always the WWF WWE Royal Rumble match. That probably ties into the excitement of the unknown, who's going to show up in this giant match. And for those of you listening, obviously that don't know wrestling as much, Royal Rumble is a 30-man over the top rope where you have to throw your opponent over a top rope, 30-man rumble basically, where a countdown clock goes off. It's this big spectacle. Every 30 seconds or every minute, a new wrestler comes out and they hit their music. And just for me, that was always the time where like new wrestlers showed up or wrestlers that were quote unquote injured came back from their injury to make a big statement. But what we did at our house growing up with that was we bet a penny back in the day when we were younger, and we'd bet on the wrestler we would think would go all the way to the end and win the Royal Rumble. And so I think I have my fondest wrestling memories overall from the Royal Rumble match.
Wasn't there a Royal Rumble where Ric Flair drew number one and he won the whole thing?
Number two, they come out at the same time. Yeah.
One of the first two people in and he won the whole thing.
And it's one of the greatest promos in the WWF history. If you haven't seen that one, that's a worth a watch. Just Google or YouTube search Ric Flair Royal Rumble win.
Yep.
And
talk about a performer.
Him and Jimmy Superfly Snuka, they fought supposedly over 2,000 times, which is wacky. Like, that's just way out there. A lot of them were I think they're called black matches, where they fought not on on TV.
Yeah, they changed them to dark matches now.
Dark matches. Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. Thank you. dark matches.
Yes. Good. Yeah, back in the day, I mean, you would, man, you don't see those kinds of feuds anymore, but yeah, like old school wrestling feuds lasted years and years and years, and now you get like TV time is like a couple weeks, seems like too long for some wrestlers.
So Jeff, what about you? What are some of your favorite memories or most enjoyable memories where wrestling is concerned?
I'll share two, and that both show the power of and how when we watch something when we're younger is probably different than how we'd watch it when we're older. So my two favorite moments include wrestlers who, when you look back on their career, were probably not as good as you thought they were. One of them was the Ultimate Warrior, and I was a gigantic Ultimate Warrior fan. And then it was me, and I remember we used to have, we were at Coventry Elementary School, beautiful Crystal Lake, Illinois. And I remember me, and I couldn't tell you the friends that used to do it. It was like a redhead kid named Eric, I think a kid named Doug, few others. And we had one of those old tire castles, like one of those you can't have them tire castles. They're banned, right? It was like the old school kid playground where it was just like rusted. Here's the rusted metal machine, and here's a pile of tires. Go play in them. We haven't cleaned this since 1983. So we used to have little wrestling matches. Part of the build for Hulk Hogan versus the Ultimate Warrior, there are some people who are still Hulk Hogan fans, but a lot of us were Ultimate Warrior fans. And leading up to this mega match, it would be the Hogan fans versus the Warrior fans. We'd have these strange wrestling matches in this tire castle. We didn't do any fighting. It would just like kind of be like we would just climb to the top. We're like, yeah, this is what wrestlers do. They jump in tires and they climb, and then whoever it's the highest on the tower is the best wrestler. So there wasn't really much wrestling. I think sometimes somebody would like drop down from one of the tires and hit an elbow drop. Really the only thing we were qualified to do at that age. And I remember it was one of the first times where we had friends over. And I remember this kid, Eric, could not tell you his last name. We were good friends for a couple of years. There's like a little interstate highway that separated like our two subdivisions. So we didn't get to like hang out that often. But he came over, and we got to watch the Ultimate Warrior beat Hulk Hogan, and it was thrilling. He is a terrible wrestler. If you go back and watch his wrestler as an adult, you're like, this is horrible. And he's the strangest promos. He's just, I am a warrior of the moon and the seventh light. And as a kid, you're like, you don't know what these words mean. You don't even know, like, oh my God. He just cuts absurd promos. And you don't think about it as a kid. You think it's super cool. And then the other guy was an old NWA guy, and his name was the Z-Man.
Oh my God, you loved the Z-Man.
It's like the first wrestling memory I have is this dude just named the Z-Man. He wore white trunks. His name was Tom Zink, but he went by the Z-Man. He was the Z-Man, and I just thought he was the coolest guy. And I remember him fighting Arn Anderson, who was a member of the Four Horsemen. And Arn Anderson did the old wrestling trick where you just put a bandage on your forehead. And he was like screaming about how he had a hole in his head. And I'm thinking, how could the Z-Man beat this monster? He's got a hole in his head and he's still going to fight. So I was like kind of scared of Arn Anderson. And then I watched him fight, the Z-Man fight Arn Anderson for the TV title. And he won. I lost my mind. I thought it was the best moment. How lucky I was to be able to live through this, what would undoubtedly be a class. And it's, no one cares. No one even most people didn't even realize he did that. So but it's, those are the two things. I remember Ultimate Warrior Hogan, and I remember the Z-Man. And that was my wrestling. I loved all the characters. Remember PN News?
I do.
The Rap Master, and how cool we thought it was that he would like start his music right before he was going to win. Like, this guy was always so sure he's going to win that he'd like call for his music like before he'd hit his finishing move. He's just this big fat classic white 90s rapper, and he's terrible, and it's hard to watch, but favorite character.
Speaking of PM News, Jeff, he was in, back in the day, they don't do these anymore because of all the scares and stuff with heights. But one of the first ever matches that one of my most memorable matches of PM News was he was in this giant scaffold match. And basically what this is you just fight on a scaffold, like a giant, like reinforced scaffold 20 feet above the ring. The idea was you had to fight your way to the other side. So like reverse tug of war. And PM News was in it, and he's such a big dude that we just kept being like, oh, they're all going to fall. They're all going to fall. But after that, a lot of the things that we did in our own like entertaining, like outside of watching wrestling lives, we collected all the wrestling figures and whatnot. But like, I wouldn't stop having scaffolding matches with my wrestling figures. I would put them up all over the place. I'd build these scaffolding constructions. My parents would find this cluttered all over the house, but I couldn't get enough of scaffold matches because of that. But again,
the rat master, he was just awful.
He was terrible. But just looking at that structure, now you looked at it, you'd be like, yeah, it's a scaffold. What's the big deal? But again, how you think as a child?
I don't think we liked any of the people that, like, we grew up hating Stone Cold Steve Austin. Hated, like, this guy gets away with murder. He doesn't ever, everybody's just trying to follow the rules, and this guy just runs in and does whatever the heck he wants. Like, we didn't buy it. We hated him, but we love, like, the weird ones, like Goldust, Mankind, and
presidential candidate Bob Backlund.
When Kevin Nash played a Wizard of Oz character.
Oh, my God.
I loved that character, hated Steve Austin, loved Kevin Nash pretending to be literally the Wizard of Oz. Yep. But
that's funny. Let's talk a little bit more about wrestling so we can get some of this stuff inside of here about like surrounding wrestling. Because you're talking about characters and gimmicks. That's a big thing with wrestling.
It's huge, yeah.
We've mentioned like the WWE, and I think you guys mentioned the AEW. Maybe we didn't mention it in the show yet, but we were talking about it earlier. These are promotions, and the promotions are essentially the businesses or the companies that are the touring theater troupe, and they promote all the events for wrestling. Vince McMahon is the person that runs the WWE. He runs it, right? Like, he's in charge of all that?
100.
Yeah. And he's been, he's participated in the theater at times,
almost too much sometimes, one would say. Yeah.
What are some of your guys' favorite promotions and what makes them your favorite promotions?
So I guess I'll tackle that first. I mean, I was a lifelong, for the longest time until very recently, I was a lifelong WWF/WWE-er. I thought it was bigger, brighter, more colorful, and its warring promotion at the time, WCW, World Championship Wrestling, always seemed, while more realistic, just like duller in color. It was a whole different style. So for the longest time, I was really into the WWF, and sort of the way they promoted everything too was just like everything was like classic 80s, 90s in your face, like energy. But I was also like a low key, there was a hardcore federation that I didn't love the hardcore matches themselves, but it was a Extreme Championship Wrestling. And I was a low-key fan of that promotion, namely for one wrestler, a character by the name of Raven. And I just thought he was the coolest looking. He was kind of like Kurt Cobain meets like philosopher with like a side of like kind of skater, kind of punk. So I was really into that. And their whole thing was that they were the anti-establishment at the time. And I bought into that sort of selling point of that promotion.
Very nice. What about you, Jeff?
Oh, I mean, I was a true blue WCW, NWA, WCW, like through all the, I definitely loved the NWO era. I always liked the more realistic presentation. Now, I don't know if that's just because I happen to like have this stuck image of WCW being the thing I watch with my dad, and so therefore I watch it. But I think even growing up, I went more toward like the grittier, older side. I remember I used to troll Ed and watch like the Patty Duke show, and he'd be like, God, Jeff's always watching old people stuff. And so I think part of that was that I wanted to be older. And so I liked older presentation. So I watched WCW pretty regularly. And I think everybody had like either a WCW or WWF. And then you picked, and I think everybody kind of knew you, if you were like a wrestling fan, you'd know about this. Like Ed said, about ECW, and you couldn't really watch it anywhere, and it would be on pay-per-views, but the pay-per-views, like my father was not about that. Like, we could watch all the WWF and WCW that we could. He would never order us ECW. He thought it was trash. And so we used to like flip the channel changer. What is that? That AB button on the channel changer. and you just like keep flicking it. And it's like kind of catch pieces, and you'd watch that. And then you didn't really, it wasn't until like the later 90s when you could see the ECW influence in wrestling, that they kind of brought that stuff out of the, you know, and the internet had just started, so you could start going online and seeing this stuff. So I think growing up in ECW, I loved it, but I was a huge True Blue WCW guy. And then I think in terms of like where that's led, I'm a huge AEW fan. It's All Elite Wrestling. It's flashier than WCW was, but it's that same sort of realistic, gritty presentation. And it's a lot of workers who either got misused in WWE or overlooked, and then combine that with a lot of really great talent that maybe never wrestled for World Wrestling Entertainment prior. So I really enjoyed that, and kind of moved down from WWE a little bit, but it's cyclical. I mean, I think we've gone 2 or 3 years in a row without watching WWE. Yep. And then they do something. They always do something, and you tune back in. But I've really been enjoying, I think there's kind of a renaissance in wrestling right now. And I think WWE is taking a step back in a lot of areas, and they're collaborating more and not worrying about putting other places out of business or you know, gripping the marketplace by the throat. And I think you're seeing some cool people who would never get a chance in the WWE getting chances to be really entertaining, put on really good shows.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up AEW in more depth like that, Jeff, because for me, that's what I also love AEW so much, is I feel like right now it's the best of both what growing up watching WWF, and then, you know, I changed to WCW once the NWO, the New World Order era happened, and I think a lot of people jumped ship from WWF to WCW because it was more exciting, and AEW does a good job of kind of breaking the fourth wall and like kind of taking nods at like the hokiness of professional wrestling while also still keeping that true, like what, you know, I've coined as like professional sports combat entertainment, and adding that word combat in there. To me, yeah, AEW's got it, doing it right in there. They're also bringing back this idea of, you know, Chris, you brought up, you know, promotions, you know, as wrestling like grew, there were these things called the territories, and like you had different wrestling promotions all over the United States, and like they had different regions, like so-and-so wrestled for like NWA South, or, you know, you had the WWE up in the Northeast, and one by one those fell, and, you know, the WWF, WWE stayed, and AEW is bringing this sort of feeling of like forbidden talent going all over the place and having opportunities again. And it's actually really exciting.
Well, that's really fun. I'm glad that the AEW is doing that. I mean, wrestling has become a billion-dollar media industry. Right. I mean, the WWE, when they were the WWF, I guess, or before they became the WWE, they bought out the WCW and the ECW. And there's tons of money to be had in this game, but it's also, you know, like anything that has like a small sliver of talent at the top, like it's really hard to like work your way up and through there and make it in that industry. It's brutal. You guys mentioned Mankind earlier. Like, there's a really great documentary of all the stuff that he's gone through and done. Like, you know, I'm gonna throw some nails on the mat, and then I'm gonna jump off this ladder to slam this guy and get a bunch of nails put in me. Then, you know, go to the hospital later and have them rip all the nails out of me. Like, those are actual things that happen in wrestling matches.
Yeah, yeah. And that was when the WWF was kind of taking from that. You know, that was something that was happening on a daily, weekly, monthly basis for a lot of these independent or low budget feds like ECW. You know, there was CZW was like Combat Zone at Wrestling or something, or these.
That was after.
Yeah, that was after. Yeah. But like WWE, WWF was like, well, that seems to be exciting. It's the Attitude Era or whatever, and so they were bringing more of that hardcore, what was sometimes called garbage wrestling, because they literally used garbage cans full with fluorescent light tubes, and that was all that, you know, the classic phrase, you know, you don't watch a car wreck because you enjoy it; you watch it because you can't turn away.
Mm.
That's kind of that thing, and you know, Mick Foley though was the best of both worlds there, because he could do that stuff, but he also was such a smart performer, and his character work was something else. It was very bizarre.
Let's talk a little bit about storytelling and wrestling, because I find this to be really fascinating. I mean, this is a thing that I'm always looking at, is how people tell stories with their media. And there's a bunch of like things that they use, but it seems to me, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just going to guess here, that wrestling uses two big pieces. They use the match to tell a story, and they use promos, or the interviews where a wrestler gets a chance to be their character and cut a interview / promotion for themselves to further along a storyline. Would that be pretty accurate?
Yep.
is there any promos that particularly stand out, or characters that cut really good promos in the history of wrestling that you guys really latched onto or were attached to?
Where to start? I mean, you go back to being a kid and it's the Macho Man and Ultimate Warrior again, like wild. You watch him now and it's, I think it was that for, you know, when I'm a kid growing up, I was always attracted to this sort of like this dark, not, I don't say dark like edgelord, but it's just this gritty presentation, again, the grit, that sort of like that something's going on. I didn't know what they were saying. And when you know, it's actually worse, but you don't know it. And you're just like, wow, these guys are like, it's different. It's weird, you know, because Hulk Hogan was Hulk Hogan. You do your vitamins. I don't know. We just grew up like life wasn't, it was never that way. We didn't live in this black, you know, oh, wow, good guys do this. And this is, they weren't good guys. They weren't bad guys. You know, you just, who was the coolest? Jake the Snake Roberts, Ted DiBiase, right? And then
the Million Dollar Man.
I think that translated to Mankind and Gold Dust and, you know, certain degrees, guys like Bray Wyatt or Malachi Black, who's a performer in AEW. Just these weird, heavy personality guys. And, you know, there's some guys that are fun. You know, The Rock would make me laugh. Stone Cold Steve Austin would cut some promos and make me laugh. And they were entertaining. But the characters that stick with me are just these weirdos, man. I love characters that, by like all means, you should not take them seriously. But like they're put in an environment where not only do they take themselves seriously, but the world around them takes them seriously. And there's something just so cool about that like willing suspension of disbelief and that willingness to explore the sort of like dark, fantastical side of our minds that I love it. And I think those have always been like the characters that I gravitate toward. The juxtaposition, the characters, like, you know, they're conflicted in some way, or their personalities are juxtaposed by their actions. There's this old wrestler named Waylon Mercy, who's a con artist, and his entrance music was just like, "I'm Waylon Mercy," and he was like, and he's just this really glad-handing, crazy cult leader, and he would come down to the ring and he would shake hands slowly with all the fans, but he had this like weird culty mark in the center of his face and wild eye. I loved that guy, but it doesn't often translate, so you have like a lot of heartbreak because those guys disappear from your television screen because the nuances of their character, the professional wrestling is not traditionally famous for its wild nuance and flair for the artistic. So, you know, I would sit there and be like, wow, this is a really complicated and deep character, and someone else would be like, yeah, but go USA, he's got muscles and a flag, but oh, that's the guy, you know, like, and I, nothing, there's anything wrong with that, but that wasn't what was cool about wrestling to me. It was,
you don't find muscles and flags complex?
I probably could, and that's really not fair. And as I say that, I'm like drawing up a character in my head that's like muscles and flags, but like, ooh, wow, this is a really interesting take on the genre.
What about you, Ed?
So I also gravitated towards the more complex characters and those types of things. But there are definitely some promos and stories, like the way they were executed, that stick out, that are very specific. When it comes to storylines, we've mentioned Ric Flair now and Macho Man in two different settings. Their feud, when Ric Flair was telling Macho Man that his manager and love of his life, Miss Elizabeth, was with him, and everyone thought it was this big thing, and they even released like a photo shoot spread, and it was an actual magazine that they published. And I remember seeing that magazine as part of that storyline then in an actual Dominick's, like in a grocery store. And I flipped to that page, and sure enough, there's a picture of Miss Elizabeth feeding Ric Flair strawberries. And like, this is before a time of Photoshop and like where everything can be deep faked. And so I didn't even know you could edit photos to make them look like something was happening. And so I lost my mind, because it's like, oh, he's really doing it. Miss Elizabeth really is with Ric Flair. And like their war of words and that ability to sell it in the ring. But then I was like, I begged my parents to let me buy that magazine so I could like read up more and like see what's going on. And I just remember that I was so captivated by that. I was like, please say it ain't so. And at one point in time, Elizabeth came out and you didn't know who she was going to hit, if she was with anybody. And then when she revealed that she was still with Macho Man the whole time, and they thwarted evil, cocky Ric Flair's efforts. I remember that, like, from an old WWF, like older, like as I'm a kid, like promo wise, like the Macho Man being all ramped up and Ric Flair just swearing up and down that he took the lady. And I was just like, you know, so captivated by that for some reason. And that, to your point earlier, is yes, that's like the soap opera aspect of it. Later in life, I got really into the promos that sort of semi broke the fourth wall or really like made me believe again, like, oh, maybe there really is a beef or something going on, or the ones that you completely didn't see coming. One of the best promos to this date, and it's not talked about a ton, there's a wrestler who's actually legitimately won the World's Strongest Man competition. His name's Mark Henry. And he'd been kind of a babyface going in and out, and he never really had won much in the way of world title, but he's like a good dude. He was somebody that could pull off a lot of feats of strength, and like he was agile, and he was actually pretty good on the mic. Most of these guys that you bring from like tough man competitions or from the actual world of professional wrestling, like collegiate wrestling, don't always have the best microphone work or microphone skills. But Mark Henry had gone through a lot. He'd been a lovable like mainstay of the WWE. He was talking about some injuries he'd been going through, and he gave one of the best retirement speeches in all of professional wrestling, I would say. Like, it was emotional, it was true. He was mentioning like real names and stuff, and he said, you know, he brought out then, you know, then at the time champion John Cena, and he's like, I owe a lot of my rise up here at All and all of my opportunities to you. Then nobody knew that there was never a storyline in the ring where John Cena and Mark Henry really like worked together much. So he did this whole thing, and at the end he has John Cena raise his hand, and he's getting John Cena to like rally up the crowd to cheer for Mark Henry, and then so smooth, out of nowhere, he pulls him in and does his World's Strongest Slam to John Cena. And I did not, like, normally, you know, Jeff and I, we look and we go, oh yeah, you know, we used to, kind of side note, we used to like write our own wrestling storylines and characters. And Jeff and I usually aren't very like shocked or like, oh my God, how did this happen as older individuals? But this was one of the times as an adult, I was completely, truly 100% swerved by a promo that I did not think was going that way. And I think that one sticks out as like, how good professional wrestlers can be at truly acting. And that one sticks out for me. And I'd be remiss to not mention CM Punk is one of the all-time top probably five microphone workers. He's blends the realism of his frustrations and angers with his like, you know, character in the ring. So I'd say that anything he's ever said has been also pretty amazing.
Did Henry and Cena wrestle at any point after that, or was Henry done after that?
They did. He did not retire. It was a fake retirement. It was all to get a world title match, essentially. And he actually becomes the world champion. He beats John Cena and becomes the champion.
Well, there you go. That's fun.
Yeah.
that's really cool. Out of all the stories that you've put forth, like I've seen CM Punk cut promos and stuff. I didn't know that one. That's like the first one that you guys have mentioned that I didn't know. Well, no, the Z one too. I never saw that, Jeff. It's like, I think you might be the only person that saw that.
No one ever sees that. I tell that story as though it's this big ironic joke, and people like, it's the Z man is such a non-issue that like when I tell that story, people are like, this is the worst wrestling story that I've heard. You're making this person up. You could not create, there's no way you could create such a bland, that no one was ever the Z-Man, Jeff. He was, and he won the TV title, and it was a proud moment in my life.
Who was the other? Oh, yeah, you liked, before he was Buff Bagwell, you liked Marcus Alexander Bagwell.
We don't have to, like, rip me for being just the gooberiest goober wrestling fan as a kid. Yeah, I liked the old school good guys.
You did?
They were cool, they were hip, they were young. It's like, yeah, it's, and then you watch them and it's embarrassing. What are you going to do?
Is there anything that you two particularly want to talk about concerning wrestling that we haven't touched on yet?
Oh, man. I mean, there's so much. This could be like 50 episodes, Chris, honestly.
there is one thing that I wanted to ask you guys. Have you guys been to some professional wrestling matches?
Yes, we have.
Oh. So one of the coolest things I think about wrestling is that It is staged. It is acted. Like, these are performers performing on in a theater like way, but the audience participation is so high that I think that is one of the really big reasons why people love it so much, is because the audience is part of the show. But does that seem accurate? And what are your experiences with that?
Oh, it's 100,000,000% accurate. I think. Well, it depends on the type of show you're seeing.
Kind of a thing where you're part of the show, but you're also like trying to steal the show sometimes as a wrestling fan. Like, what's the, like, what can you say? Like, how can you work a heel with your clever commentary that you shout at him?
Yeah.
Ed.
Yeah, I was gonna get into that. So if anyone's watched professional wrestling, you'll hear, you know, more certain cities and states are definitely known for being a wrestling city or a wrestling state. And, you know, people, you know, you'll hear commentators try to like quell the chanting by saying, oh, it's Bizarro World out here, because you'll purposely boo good guys and you'll purposely cheer bad guys and you'll shout things. I love going to them because I like to come up with weird things to chant and shout. And I think Jeff knows which story I'm going to tell here. Most people are familiar because he's a UFC and WWE hybrid. His name's Brock Lesnar. And he's a monster. And we went to, was it Extreme Rules? I want to say WWE pay-per-view.
Yeah, it was when he fought Cena, right?
Yeah, I think it was Extreme Rules. And at the time, everybody hates John Cena, even though John Cena is the good guy. John Cena has been hated for most of his career, but he never went bad guy. He never went to turn what's called a heel. And Lesnar was the bad guy, but everyone loved Brock Lesnar and everyone wanted to see Brock Lesnar just destroy John Cena. Well, we're not too far. We're like maybe eight rows back from like the main aisleway. And at the time, WWE has been running for several years now this Be a Star campaign, and it's anti-bully campaign. And so everyone's cheering Brock Lesnar, but Jeff and I and a couple of our friends are in a row with some younger kids. So I ironically start shouting at beast of a man, Brock Lesnar, don't be a bully, be a star. And I just keep shouting that he's a bully. And these kids are getting in on it now too, because these kids love John Cena. So now they're shouting, yeah, you're a bully. And I cut my hands really loud, like to make it really loud. And I go, yeah, you're a bully, Lesnar. You're a bully. And he turns and looks directly at me. And I shut the F up.
I've never seen a human being shut up. I have never seen a human being just silenced with, I mean,
yeah,
we're close, but we're not that close. From about from about half a football field away, Brock Lesnar glares at my brother, and Ed is like, oh, he's going to punch me. And he just stopped. He just stopped. And the kids looked at him like he was a big letdown.
But you'll hear those chants, and you'll hear people like that. And so it's something else to be live and to be a part of that. Now, on the other hand, when you go to some live events, they also decide to tape 8 TV episodes back to back. Don't go to those live events.
Support your favorite places. Don't go to 8-hour TV tapings.
Yeah, because then the crowd loses a lot of that energy.
You see the same character come out, and then you're supposed to pretend like it's the first time you're seeing them.
Yeah.
Because you're a TV character.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that being disappointing, but that first part sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That's a great story, man.
And I have one more quick one, and this never caught on, but it was me mocking a nickname of a character.
I think that's just a us thing. I don't think.
Is that just another thing? All right. Sometimes it's long story short. Sometimes characters have nicknames that people are not cognizant of can be turned into anti-Semitic.
I don't think we're gonna drop that one on the
show. No. Needless to say, I was pointing out the fact that their nickname was a very bad idea.
Yeah, that does sound like a bad idea. They should probably change their name.
Yep.
I will ask Jeff first. Do you have any final thoughts about wrestling that you would like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I would say this. If you're a fan, you're probably going to fact check some of the stuff that we said because your memories get hazy, and I don't think any of us are in the position to be like, actually, what actually happened. So, I know that this isn't really going to speak to the people who are wrestling fans, because if you're a fan, you've been a fan. No new fan is on the fence. Like, you're either not into it or you're into it. So I will say this: if you're listening and you're like, I've never really watched wrestling before, it's an exciting exercise to suspend one's disbelief. Is in today's world is really pretty powerful, and I would suggest if you have the opportunity, watch All Elite Wrestling on Wednesday nights, and just understand that what you're watching is not, nobody's trying to trick you, but be willing to just buy into like that it's real. Watch it for the stories, let your imagination run wild, and see if you might enjoy it a little bit more than you thought you might.
Very nice. How about you, Ed?
Ditto to that 100%. And I would say, for my money, and wrestling is not just punches, kicks, body slams, and chair shots. There is if you're an aspiring writer, an aspiring actor, I strongly urge you to watch professional wrestling because it is the medium that got me writing the most consistently in my entire life. So it's a crossover of just, if you're a fan of entertainment and getting a story across, in a, especially in today's age where you have so many different mediums to tell stories, wrestling brings everything in pop culture, in different mediums of entertainment, of genres of entertainment. And it's really, it's a cross section of society. It evolves as society evolves. It dips when society dips. It rises when society rises. And I say this because I also wrote a thesis paper on wrestling in college. And so if you've ever just want to understand like a new way to tell a story or like get inspired by a character, watch professional wrestling. It will help, I promise.
Well, thank you very much for all of that. That was really fun. Where can we find you guys on the internet if people want to talk to you both about wrestling a little bit more? I mean, I know the Chimera Initiative Discord is a good place to go.
Yes. I mean, that's really the only place I'm going to be. I'll tell you what, if you find me through the Chimera Initiative Discord, I will literally pay you $20 to talk about wrestling with me. And then I'll have like some sort of proof that what kind of draw that my brother and I are, so we can talk to Chris about stuff in the future.
I mean, if you all like this and you want to hear these two talk more about wrestling, please feel free to let me know. I'll have them back on the show to talk more about wrestling. I'll just say, what do you guys want to talk about wrestling wise? And then I'll just write a bunch of plot points and ask a bunch of questions like I did today. We can get into the intricacies of the AEW.
We can. That's a whole like series. But yeah, Chimera Initiative, I'm part of the same gaming community as these fine folks. I am on Facebook. I used to have way more wrestling presence about 10 years ago.
You know what? If you're like into wrestling and you like writing about wrestling, go to shootproject.com. I'm friends with a bunch of people.
Shootproject.com?
It's an e-wrestling federation. They've been around since, I don't know, 2001. Yes. They've been running this thing off and on. And it's a place that we used to write for pretty regularly. You kind of create your character and you write a story, but we're not bound by the limits of sort of the reality of pro wrestling. So the stories get real bonkers and more comic book-esque with a wrestling backdrop than maybe actual wrestling. But if that's ever something you've liked, check them out because they're the best at it.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, everyone who's listening, and thank you both for joining me today. You can find me at Chris Sneezy on Twitter, or you can just go to whywelikethis.org if you're not on that website. I'll have links to all these places that we're talking about there in the episode notes. And with that, thank you so much, and come tell us why you like wrestling.
Thank you for listening to Why We Like This. Look for new episodes on Monday mornings, and the music is Highway Nights from Stream Beats by Harris Heller.